Live on Fox. Catch the high-flying superstars as they compete for supremacy in the ring. It's Friday Night SmackDown at 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen. Text us at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, Nick Brown, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Of course, you can get us on the RejuvaMe hotline and text line. That's 888-993-7762. Been a couple weeks since we've been on the air, but we're back on this rainy Tuesday evening in Ruston, Louisiana. You might have heard me mention in the open, Nick Brown filling in for Beck Haynes tonight. Nick, I appreciate you coming in.
Hey, great to be in. Glad to be a part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a lot to get into. Like I said, we hadn't been on the air in a while. We're in the midst of college baseball season. We're in the midst of Louisiana Tech softball season. We're in the midst of transfer portal and college basketball. Of course, national championship wrapped up last night. UConn goes back-to-back, 75-60 over Purdue. We got spring football. I know Sonny Cumbie and his staff are doing their darndest to put a quality product on the field in 2024 after back-to-back 3-9 seasons. So a lot to get into. 6:45. Got Mitch Gaspard coming up, Louisiana Tech hitting coach. Of course, Coach Gaspard, former head coach at Northwestern State, also former head coach at Alabama. So a lot to get into tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, I tell you what. Been fortunate enough to be at a baseball game with you, also with Taves. And I will start with, man, regardless of the quality of play on the field, and it has been good, Aramark is hitting a home run.
I know you are a huge fan of some of these meals that they're putting
great.
Out.
Absolutely. I'm telling you.
You and Taves.
You cannot beat.
The chicken Philly cheesesteak on Sunday was a nice lunch.
And I will tell you, not only did you have a nice lunch, you followed it up with a great dessert with the funnel cake fries.
And you're not a fan.
Not a fan.
Too sweet for you.
Too sweet.
Big workout guy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just who you are. But Aramark's doing a great job. I think I saw the other day La Tech Sports Central put on the old X or Twitter, whatever you call it these days, about the quality of atmosphere. When you're talking about atmosphere surrounding Louisiana Tech athletics, obviously I think baseball's the bell cow right now. And I know Lane Burrows alluded to it a couple weeks ago following that ULM game. Obviously a 4 p.m. first pitch on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. They moved that game up. They were heading out on a road trip to FIU the following day. And Tech fans just keep showing up for baseball. And I think that shows not only what this program has accomplished in the past couple of years, but shows you that in our area of the country. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I want to tell you, go back. Several years ago, Greg Goff was the head coach in year one. They moved the Marshall series to 10 a.m., the Sunday finale.
Much like we saw the other day.
Two people were there when the first pitch was thrown. I and my oldest son, RJ, were in attendance, and a few more filtered in. But I know a lot of people didn't like the 10 a.m. move, but you had to make that move. But it was a rather decent crowd for such a late movement of a game.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, like I said, we saw the same thing this past Sunday against Middle Tennessee. Obviously, Louisiana Tech wins that series. But let's go all the way back. The last time we were on the air, March 21st, obviously, like I said, 2.5 weeks ago, so we got some ground to cover. Louisiana Tech opened up conference play at home against Jacksonville State. Of course, Jacksonville State new to Conference USA. We saw how they acclimated themselves on the gridiron and football. Rich Rod did a tremendous job with that program, winning a bowl game over ULL. Didn't fare quite as well on the basketball front, baseball front. New head coach, Steve Beazer.
Had been at Missouri.
Do you remember, did you interview him in Starkville that year? When he was at Southeast Missouri.
He was at SEMO. That's right. He was at SEMO. We talked to them after the game. Louisiana Tech and SEMO played. In fact, Goff was on that staff, had been a coach at SEMO. Kind of a really and actually brought SEMO here, I believe.
Did we play SEMO at home?
I know we played Southern Illinois at home when you were out. It seemed like we had it. But anyway, SEMO, yes. And that's what they've done at Jacksonville State. They've gone the Power Five route with Rich Rod and then with baseball to move. But Missouri baseball was not very good.
They were.
So you got a guy who had been successful at SEMO, now at Missouri, not so much, and now at Jacksonville State. And really, a lot of errors out of the third baseman and shortstop in that series.
Let me ask you this about the baseball aspect of changing conferences. Big deal? Little deal? You know, I hear it alluded to as far as Jacksonville State's taking a step up in competition.
It is.
I think they are.
BC, what happens is your Friday night guy is going to be your Friday night guy.
Yeah.
But what happens is your Saturday and Sunday guys, they're not good enough.
That's true. They're probably more midweek.
They're more midweek guys. And you go look at the roster where they're recruited. In fact, I studied their roster extensively, and you had a lot of guys from the Birmingham area. And you think about this. You look at the baseball programs in the state of Alabama. That's when I knew someone asked about that series. I said Louisiana Tech will sweep with not much difficulty. Because you've got Alabama, you've got Auburn, you've got South Alabama, you have Troy.
You've got a lot of
competition for recruits, and I think you're getting those guys that were overlooked. And I think you obviously do the top three, Alabama, Auburn, and then you can insert either Troy or South, which change it over.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And talking about this series, obviously you played the doubleheader on Saturday after the rainout on Friday, then you played the finale on Sunday. That Saturday doubleheader, and we've talked about it on the show numerous times, and we've talked about it with Lane Burrows as well, just getting Cole McConnell's presence back in your lineup. He hits three home runs in game one and hits a single home run in game two of that doubleheader. Four home runs on the day on his way to being named Conference USA Hitter of the Week. That's an all-time player right there.
Oh, absolutely it is. Now, the beauty of that is you got to see that during that Jacksonville State series. The downside of that is now everyone pitching around Cole McConnell, and we saw that this past weekend.
Okay, let's transition. So following the Jacksonville State series, you played ULM on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. We got the news on Monday afternoon. It started kind of to trickle out a little bit about Dalton Davis's injury. Obviously, three-hole hitter, obviously hitting 350, 360. I think he hit 15, 16 home runs a year ago, was off to a tremendous start this year. We did the sports company out at J.C. Love Field on that Tuesday before the ULM game, and you're never going to replace a hitter like that.
No, you're not. You're not.
Like, and listen, Will Safford, you look at what he's done since being inserted into the lineup. I think he's hitting 385. I think he's got a 523 on base. He's got a couple of home runs. He's drove in a few runs. Been tremendous, but you don't replace that presence in your three hole. And you and I were talking about this Sunday against Middle Tennessee. He just lengthens your lineup so much.
Okay, first of all, number one, maybe it's because of his stature. I'm a huge Will Safford.
You are.
Yeah, I am. And so
you gave him a standing ovation when he ran a ball down in the gap the other day. It was incredible to see.
Yeah, you know, you got to be filled with spirit. But here's the thing: you look at it, and I was unfair. I look at where guys transfer from. I do.
I agree.
And I think you look at Turner Swistak, the same thing. We look at that, and we have a higher expectation.
We do.
If we get a guy from Eckerd College, we're thinking like, hey, what's he going to be?
Yeah.
But when you see a Tennessee or UCLSU, you bring in greater expectations, number one. And number two, that's really not fair on that player, but they're not going to measure up in year one. And I felt maybe I was unjustly, maybe not critical, but just – my expectations.
Well, I think that the same way, that same thought process, imagine it from the player's point of view. Like, I'm coming from LSU to Louisiana Tech, and I'm not saying that those players look down on Louisiana Tech, but I would imagine they put a fair amount of pressure on themselves to go out and, you know, earn a spot. Hey, I deserve to be here. And like you said with Turner Swistak, I'm sure he came to Louisiana Tech with the expectation of, hey, I'm going to be the Friday night guy or whatever.
I thought he was going to be the Friday night guy. Yeah, you got a guy from Tennessee out of Oak Grove, Mississippi, right outside of Hattiesburg. But I'm going to go back to Savage just for a minute. I think he's a spark plug.
And I do too.
You ask a question. We were discussing what we're going to talk about. What does the Dalton Davis injury do and allow Lane Burrows. What it does is you have to experiment because
you have to.
You're going to have to replace a lot of offense. But I go back to the Nichols game. Man, what a spark plug Safford was in that game. Yep. Great with a glove. And then you're ready to anoint one, but not so fast because, you know, I was from the old school that you didn't lose a spot based on injury. And so now, you know, what has it allowed Lane Burrows and his staff to see, and where do you go moving forward when Davis is back?
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, you look at it as far as don't lose a spot due to injury and the experimentation that it gives Lane Burrows the luxury. I think, in a sense, too, it forces Lane Burrows to say, all right, I'm going to play this guy or I'm going to play that guy. And I think Grant Como's a redshirt freshman. Obviously, opening night, he got the start at first base. And I think he's done some good things throughout the year. Like you said, Safford has played well. And I think going forward, you know, we'll see when Dalton Davis ultimately returns to the Tech lineup. But I think, you know, in talking about that and in talking about how you lose some of the length of your lineup, you know, you lose your three-hole hitter, so you move George Corona up from the five spot to the three spot. He's been tremendous. Like, he showed a lot of power. He hit two home runs on Sunday against Middle Tennessee. But it does change some things in the fact that, you know, Ethan Bates in that four-hole, obviously he's your designated hitter, might not have as much protection as he's had early in the year. And we, as fans, we're not necessarily like, oh, you know, we noticed the 0-for-1. We don't notice that Bates got a 3-1 breaking ball instead of a 3-1 fastball if he would have had Corona sitting behind him.
That is exactly right, and that's the thing about it, and that's where you hear a lot of times you talk and you say this about baseball, and people don't understand what you're saying, but if you're listening to us, you certainly do, when you go, that's baseball. That's baseball. And you go, because you get that luxury because who's batting behind him, and I'm not knocking a guy that's batting behind him, but they may, you know, be an easier out.
Yeah, it changes the thought process.
Yeah, you're going to be an easier out than Ethan Bates. I don't care who it is, most likely you are.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So get to that ULM game on Tuesday. That was a very interesting game. Louisiana Tech scored two runs in the first inning. I think they got a sixth spot in the second inning. It's 8-0. The wind's howling out at J.C. Love Field, which we see countless times this time of the year as the weather starts to warm up. And then from that point forward, I think ULM hit a four spot in the third, and then you don't see any scoring for the final six innings. But nonetheless, it was a really good midweek win. And following that game, and we talked about it a little bit, you know, just amongst ourselves, you finish the game 6:30, 7 o'clock, you shower, you hop on a bus, you drive 4 hours to Dallas, you get to your hotel 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then you hop on a plane the following morning to fly to Miami. Being a student athlete is awesome. That's one of the things that it's a little bit more difficult maybe than the common fan maybe realizes, even though you are a young kid.
Okay, you go through it, and I want to tell you, you drop that first one 13-4.
At FIU.
You win the second one. It really catches up with you.
Game three.
It does. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. That is one of those road trips that's just miserable.
That's always a tough road trip.
That is a tough road trip. I wish it when they moved out, someone else would have moved in, because Florida International is a difficult place. And I don't put a lot of stock in that, but then the RPI does.
Well, the RPI does, and I think coming out of that series, I think we all thought, well, you know, Lane Burrows alludes to it all the time about how FIU is very talented. Like, they might not win 35, 40 games a year, but you watch them arm for arm, stick for stick, like, they're very talented.
Don't want it. I said this. I may have even said it to you or said it around the house. I said, you know, Conference USA Tournament is, and I haven't seen a format for the Conference USA Tournament yet.
Either.
Do you bring all nine and say, okay, 8-9 are going to play for that 8 spot the day before, and they get the one seat? You know, because, I mean, with 8, it's
really
easy.
Would you be in favor of that?
I would be.
Just to give that one seat an advantage.
It'll give the one seat an advantage, number one. But number two, also, you've got 9 teams in the league. You got 9. I mean, right now, that would be Jacksonville State. Okay, they're not coming.
Jack State, New Mexico State.
Yeah, so bring them all and bring all nine, have play that way. But I've said it, FIU is a team that I wouldn't want to meet in a tournament.
In a single game setting, no doubt about it. All right, let's go ahead, take our first time out. Of course, you can get us on the Rejuvenate Hotline, text line, 888-993-7762. 6-2. Be back right after this.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's bow time. Something new just dropped at Bojangles. Take the bold taste of a crispy golden chicken supreme that's been seasoned to perfection, then add dill pickles, Carolina Gold barbecue sauce, and a toasted bun that's great on the go. What do you get? You get a Bo's Bird Dog. In fact, you can grab two of them for $5. So when you're on the go, headed to practice, or need a snack, grab a Bo's Bird Dog. Hurry in before they're gone. Available for a limited time. It's bow time.
Oh, courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, where you'll find six of the leading brands: Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, two pre-owned lots, local qualified service departments you can rely on. Shop 24/7 online at buycourtesy.com. Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family in Ruston.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement therapy. Let us be your age-defying clinic.
You've heard about it? We've got it. Semaglutide. RejuvameMedical.com. At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement and weight loss therapy. It's time to begin your journey to a better you. Rejuvame Medical, now open in Monroe. RejuvameMedical.com.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
We're back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7 BC. Nick Brown, John Tabor. Sounds like the rain's cooled off a little bit.
I believe it has.
So, good for us. So, come back from the FIU series. Like we said, obviously Easter was on Sunday. So, that was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. You have Easter Sunday, off Monday, playing Little Rock on Tuesday. Chris Curry's been at Little Rock forever. I think Lane Burroughs used to play with him back in college. You can kind of understand the matchup. Ironically enough, you know, Little Rock got booted out of the Sun Belt a few years back because they don't play football. They're playing in the Ohio Valley now.
The OVC.
Yeah, they had just come off a series victory over Lindenwood.
Oh, Lindenwood. Let's go P. Is Austin P still in the OVC?
Not sure they make they a move.
But sure interesting, I don't know if you've ever been to the park at Little Rock. Did you ever get to play there?
Nick, 3 1/3 shutout with no hits, and I was named Conference USA Pitcher of the Week following it.
I like it.
Best outing of my career.
I love that park.
I hate it.
Well, it's beautiful. Now, here's the thing.
Before we got off the bus, they said, boys, don't put on red.
Okay, interesting. We're playing Summer League Baseball. And, you know, we're all geared up for this Monroe Buffs team, and I'm, like, in a red shirt. Mandy's in a red shirt. We got the cabbage in a red shirt. And we pull in, we get a Texas, don't wear red. And I'm like, you know, we drove up from Little Rock for the day, like, what are we going to do? So, like, we're scrambling. Thank goodness we had brought some other clothes. Well,
it's one of those interesting parks, too, where they got the turf infield. They got the outfield that's grass. I don't know if they still do.
Yes.
Much like Northwestern State. Like you said, it's built into the side of a hill. I remember when we would play midweek games up there, like, I'm not kidding, like, you talk about two people at a great golf game, like, there's like 12 to 14 at these.
So, I stopped at on the way up, we ate breakfast, pregame meal, you know, the family, we ate at somewhere in Fordyce. They don't recommend it. So, like, we've got to stop and get some dumps. So, we go to a convenience store, and, like, you know, you go to places they have, like, maybe the liquor behind a locked up
cabinet.
Like, who locks up Tums? And so, like, the Rolaids were
they
behind
do in Fordyce.
And I knew for a fact we were Little Rock, we're going to be in a dangerous place with it. But anyway, they had a decent ball club.
No, and they do, and I think they have difficulties obviously recruiting that park. Obviously now you're in the Ohio Valley. Back when I played, it was just a roster littered with junior college players, which obviously you can pull a number of talented players out of the junior college ranks. But I thought it was good to see Tech get off to a fast start in this one. You jump up 2-0 in the first inning. Little Rock responds and takes themselves a 4-2 lead. Tech kind of battles back. It's 5-4 in the ninth inning. You got Ethan Bates on the mound. It's kind of a quote-unquote dream scenario. Like, that's the dude you want on the mound late in the game with the chance to win. He blows his first save of the year. And, you know, I'm not saying that we've over the years, we've gotten accustomed to seeing when these Tech teams get punched in the mouth late in games, they always seem to respond. This Tech team hasn't played a whole lot of close games throughout the year. This was that spot where they got punched in the mouth. Little Rock was down to their final strike. They got the big two-run double to take a 6-5 lead. Tech comes back in the bottom half of the frame. I think they sent six hitters to the plate. They all reach base. Adarius Myers walks it off for a 7-6 win. I thought it was a little bit of a gut check, Tom, and it was really, really nice to see a lot of those veteran guys respond in the manner that you want them to.
All right, go back to that batting order. You mentioned those three that got on base. One of those was was that the game that Corona had the big hit, or was that in Middle Tennessee?
That's Middle Tennessee.
Okay, we'll get to that big hit in a minute. But does AD not lead the country in infield hits? I mean, like, there's a statistic for that. But here's the thing. He's tough out when he's running.
He's a tough out. He does strike out a lot.
And so put it in play. Watch the
And this is crazy to say. Like, you say leads the country in infield hits. Like, it's like not just infield hits. It's like perfectly placed infield hits. It's like he has a knack for it.
Well, you go through and you swing down, the ball gets that high chop off the turf, and you're there.
Well, Baltimore chop?
I don't know. I don't know how they would be on natural, but, hey, we don't play on that. So, but kudos to that. You're right. It was a gut check. And to come back, it was one you really – I think it's going to be BC, and I'm positive and I'm optimistic. I think this team makes an NCAA regional.
All right, we're going to get to that in the next segment.
But here's the thing. That's when you look back. You and I'll have
that's
this.
That's one of those wins.
We're going to have it over a brisket quesadilla. It's great, and I'm going to tell you, you go back to that game on Little Rock on April the 2nd with that gut check.
Could be,
that's
could
why
be
we're
a
here.
Good win. Yeah. Yes. So fast forward to this past weekend. Middle Tennessee come to town. The RPI was like north of 250. You come into the weekend, it's like, all right, like Middle Tennessee's coming in. You obviously don't want to overlook anyone. Like, it's baseball. Anyone can beat anyone on any given
that's
night.
That's exactly right.
We saw Southern knock off LSU last Monday. Like, we've seen some of these upsets.
Who beat Southern Miss that night? Someone beat Southern Miss that night.
Southeastern.
Yeah, yes.
Like, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. So you don't want to go in if you're Lane Burroughs, if you're his staff, really even if you're his players, saying, like, we have to sweep this series. But probably in the back of your mind, you're like, all right, guys, like, we got to handle our business. You come out Friday night, Luke Nichols was okay from a starting standpoint. Not great, but he gave you four innings. You handed it over in the eighth inning, 3-3 game. Bates hits the home run to right field to give you a 4-3 lead, which was huge. Logan McLeod comes up later in the frame, extends it to 5-3. Bates shuts it down in the ninth. Kind of another one of those games. Like I said, haven't played a ton of tight games throughout the year where gut check time of the eighth, you're at home, you're playing a 10-17 squad that's 2-4 in the league, and you found a way to get it. I was really impressed, especially the first two games of this series, with some of the grittiness.
Okay, I tell you what, you look at the record right now, 25-9. Before that series, 23-8. Is there a point where, as a fan base, that a 5-3 victory is not enough? Because sometimes you feel like, wow, if you don't go 11-0, then it was a letdown. I'm not that way because I understand baseball.
Yeah, I think when you play in a quote-unquote bad team, I do think that thought process crosses your mind. Like, why did – and we'll use Middle Tennessee, for example, obviously in this situation. Why did you only beat Middle Tennessee 5-3? Well, you know, it's like you said, it's baseball. Like, and you hate to chalk it up to it's baseball because that's not really explainable, but – go back to the Sunday game. Like, you're in a 3-3 game. You're in the sixth inning. You feel really good about yourself because you feel like you're about to get into Middle Tennessee's bullpen, which is obviously their weak point. There's a runner on first, no outs. Runner gets himself hung up. Corona throws behind the runner. Instead of running at him, he walks to second, quote-unquote, stolen base. Next hitter, weak fly out to left field. If you execute the rundown on the previous play, it's two outs, nobody on.
Correct.
And you're, I'm not saying you're out of the inning, but like you're close enough. You don't get that out. They score five runs in the frame. It's 8-3. I'm not saying the game's over, but the game's over. And I think that's just the fine line that you walk in the game of baseball. Like, there's so many little bitty details that you have to execute.
You didn't say it, but I did. As we were leaving, I said, you know what? If we make that play, I think we win the game. And it's like, and people say, did it come down to one play? Yes, that is baseball. You look at this. You take that Middle Tennessee squad. You've got Florida International that took two out of three from Louisiana Tech. Middle Tennessee defeated Florida International. Yeah. Again, in one game, it's baseball, and you go through that can happen.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And, you know, here's my thing with this Tech team. We're going to get into the regional discussion in the next segment, the RPI, and, you know, where things kind of need to fall over the next month of the season before you get into the conference tournament, obviously hoping for an at-large regional berth or possibly an automatic berth come selection Monday. But I think, you know, obviously we talked earlier about Dalton Davis. Like, you're not replacing a guy like that. You hope to get him back. I know they talked about the cast came off on Monday. Potentially he's back in a designated hitter role this weekend at Arizona. Now, what does that do for you? If he's the DH, Ethan Bates obviously has to play the field. Do you play Bates in right field like you did on Saturday against Middle Tennessee? Do you play him at first base? Obviously he's got experience at second base. He's got experience at third base. Ethan Bates is a baseball player. Like, you could probably put him at catcher and he'd be fine. But that's one of those things, if you're Lane Burrows, where you have to evaluate offense versus defense. Because I think at different points throughout this year, we mentioned the lack of execution on that rundown. There's been numerous plays throughout the year where you've had breakdowns defensively that have kind of caused you some issues. And my argument always is, when you're as good as Tech is offensively, which is a top 30, top 40 offense in the country, when Davis is in the middle of that lineup, I probably trend towards playing a Safford in right field, saying, you know what? Might hit 200, might hit 250. Heck, he might hit 300. Like, you don't know. But what I'm saying is you're going to prioritize the defense in that spot with the makeup of this roster and this personnel.
You know, I would think so, but also you could go through a different thought, a different analysis of that situation. What is going to be the least amount of change? Obviously, Safford, and I've mentioned, he's not a first baseman, so you don't put Ethan Bates. So the least amount of change would be Davis goes to DH and Bates goes back to right field.
Yeah.
That would be the fewest amount of change.
Yes.
And a lot of times, the least amount of change is the better, but what this injury has shown us is that you have options.
You do.
So if you keep Safford in right and you DH,
Davis, you can play Bates at first.
Bates at first and Bates at second.
How much experience does he have there? And so you kind of run into some of those issues. We have a text on the Rejuvenate text line. Says, what is wrong with Tech's pitching? Not executing seems a lot more talented than last year.
I'll take it. I think you're looking for one guy. I think you're looking for one guy. That's all it is. Because now you're one guy away, and one guy needs to step up, and you need to find that one person. Because when you get that puzzle, it's like you're putting a puzzle together, and you're missing that one piece. And you know what? It's useless to you. You're looking at it. But I think you look at one guy needs to step up and fill a role, and then that allows everyone else to fulfill their role.
Well,
I think that's what it is.
I do, and I think, too, a lot of people have alluded to, you know, your starting pitchers aren't necessarily getting you five or six innings every outing. I don't know if we're in that era.
We're not.
Of college or professional baseball anymore. I think if you can get four or five solid innings, like, you feel like you're in a great spot. And with this Tech team, with Broderson and Bates at the back end, like, you have arguably as good of a dynamic duo back there as anyone in the country. Like, both of those guys have been absolutely lights out. Now, whether you're talking college baseball or professional baseball, what's always the issue? It's middle relief. Who's the guy or guys that can come in and get three or six outs at a time without allowing a crooked number of three or four runs? And I think that's kind of been the issue. It's just consistency in that role.
I think you're right, because here's the thing. Let's be honest. You're going to get four out of your starter.
Yeah.
You're going to get four. We'd love to get five, but you're not. You're getting four. You need someone to step up and give you three innings.
Yeah.
Three innings.
Of one game.
Right in the middle of one game, and that's 5, 6, 7, then Bates comes in. And I'm telling you, you're not going to touch it, and that's going to be another Bulldog victory. But I think it's really that simple. You're just finding one guy.
I'll tell you one thing, too, that I've just been – I don't know if I'd say blown away, but you look at some of the struggles that Reed Smith had earlier in the year, and you get all the – why is this guy the Friday night guy? Reed Smith deserves so much credit, because you go back to that midweek game at Northwestern State, trying to get him back on the mound, trying to get him a start. He gives up 6 earned and 2 1/3. Could have tucked his tail between his legs, could have took his ball and went home, whatever analogy you want to use. Since that outing, Reed Smith has gone 2 2/3, 5 punchouts, inning and a third, punch out at Nichols. Gets back in the rotation against Jacksonville State, 5 innings, 3 runs, FIU, 5 innings, 2 runs, Middle Tennessee, 6 innings, 1 run. Like, that's a senior in his last go at it. Like, almost, and I'm not saying it was as dominant as Ryan Jennings a couple years ago. Remember when Ryan Jennings was booted from a starting rotation?
Absolutely, I do.
And earned his way back and turned himself into a fourth-round pick.
That's what you go through. And, again, that goes back to what I've talked about. That's baseball. And you come through, been impressed with how he has battled through and come back and become a very quality starter for the Dogs.
Let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back from the break. It's an 8-game gauntlet on the road for the Diamond Dogs as they head to UL Lafayette on Wednesday night before a 3-game road trip out to Arizona. They come back home on Tuesday the 16th at ULM, then a conference road trip to Dallas Baptist. Break it all down after the break. You listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Every day is game day at the dugout in Ruston. Warm up with our bases loaded nachos and fried pickles. Make the call to the bullpen for that home run chili cheeseburger combo. And our chicken wings and chicken strips, well, they'll make you feel like an all-star. And you have to try our new Texas tacos. Plus, the dugout has the best frozen daiquiris in town. That's the dugout, 2008 Champions Way in Ruston at the Ruston Sports Complex.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guides online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
All right, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, Nick Brown, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. All right, real quick, Conference USA standings. Liberty atop the league standings right now, 7-2. Only 15-16 overall. Here's the funny thing about Liberty. 8 of their 16 losses have come to Duke, Coastal Carolina, East Carolina, and Wake Forest. So, like, I think the 15-16 is a little bit deceiving as far as the quality of club they have. They were picked second in the preseason. they've played a gauntlet. Dallas Baptist is 6-3. How surprised were you that WKU defeated them 2-3?
Very much so. And I think you look at Liberty, what they're doing, the old what I used to talk about for NCAA basketball, just schedule tough. Right now, there's no doubt, Liberty, all their eggs are in the basket for the conference tournament.
Yep.
Get the best seeding you can, number one, number two seed, and go win the tournament. That's where Liberty is. They've got the competition.
And here's WKU is in a 2-2 game in the 10th at home against Louisville. How about that one? Mentioned Dallas Baptist. They're at 6-3 along with Louisiana Tech. FIU at 7-5. FIU actually lost 2 out of 3 this past weekend to Jacksonville State, which surprised me a little bit. Sam Houston, really good in the non-conference portion of their schedule. They're 3-6 overall. If you haven't watched Sam Houston, Walker Janik, first-round MLB draft pick at catcher. I think they went on the road for a 2-game series to New Mexico. That's the Lobos this past weekend. I think they scored somewhere like 47 runs in 2 games. Lobos, let's just chalk it up to elevation. Let's don't blame the pitching staff. Middle Tennessee, 3-6. New Mexico State, 2-7. Jacksonville State, 2-7. All right. Let's talk regional. All right, you look at RPI right now. Louisiana Tech's down at 91. Not great. Probably not on the bubble. Like, if we're being honest with ourselves. But you look at the next 8 games on this schedule. Let's start with this week. You go to ULL tomorrow. Cajuns are up to 18th nationally in D1 baseball's most recent top 25. They've won 15 games in a row. They're 24-8 after a weekend sweep over ULM. I believe they play Prairie View tonight. I would imagine that possibly got rained out. And then this weekend, non-conference road trip out to Arizona. Wildcats have also won 8 in a row. This is how I put it, Nick. It is a golden opportunity for Lane Burrows and his club to make up some ground within an RPI perspective.
Absolutely it is. Now let's look at something with Louisiana Lafayette, the Bulldogs' next opponent. You look at records, BC, and you say, wait a minute, they're 24-8, and you look at the Bulldogs at what?
25-9.
Why such a separation? Yes.
Which is, it's honestly odd to me, because here's why I say that. You look at quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four wins, okay? ULL was swept by a bad Rice team. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, actually, they lost twice. Two out of three.
Bad Rice team. They're 12-4 against quad four teams. Tech is 18-1. Now, obviously, 16 games versus 19, the competition's a little bit different. ULL doesn't have a quad one win, whereas Louisiana Tech is 1-1 against quad one. So you look at the difference between a 52 RPI ULL, a 91 RPI Louisiana Tech. There's not a huge discrepancy if you can go on a little bit of a run.
No, I want to tell you something. You go back, and when the Dogs went out and played in Texas, Sugarland?
Yes.
Okay, you look where the Cajuns were played. It's not just if you've beat anyone, it's who you've played.
Quote-unquote good losses.
Lost to Vanderbilt. Although it's 7-4, they still lost. Lost to LSU 5-4, and then lost to Houston. So the difference, if you look to put it on paper, you'd say, you know what, these teams are even. Of course, we know that the Raging Cajuns defeated the Bulldogs 9-5 in Ruston. But I think this is one, a very winnable game. But you're getting to the point where these are one of those you need to catch a few eyes. You have that opportunity. You have the game versus Louisiana Lafayette. And then the trip out to Arizona, the Dallas Baptist at ULM. That's 8 games. You win 4.
You're in a good spot.
You're in a great spot.
Yeah, yes. you look at Arizona recently, defeated Stanford 12-1 out in Stanford on Monday, coming off a 3-game conference sweep at Cal. They also swept UCLA the previous week. You look at some of their conference losses, lost 2 out of 3 at Oregon at PK Park, lost 2 out of 3 to a pretty so-so Arizona State team. They did defeat USC 2 out of 3, but they also played in the Frisco College Classic that same weekend. Louisiana Tech was in Frisco. They lost to Dallas Baptist 4-3, lost to 25th-ranked Alabama 7-6, before they defeated Indiana in the final game of that one. So, like you said, the next 8 games, when you talk about ULL, Arizona, ULM, that's a game that you can't lose. Now, Michael Federico, like, you won't find, like, I Tech fan, blah, blah, blah. You're not supposed to be a ULM fan. I'm a huge fan of Michael Federico.
Great baseball coach, followed his career at Hattiesburg when he was with the Golden Eagles. Very good baseball coach. But that is a game, BC, you can't lose.
No, yes, you can't lose that game. Like, point blank. Like, you can't lose that game. And then becomes your biggest test. On the road at Dallas Baptist. I think Louisiana Tech played Dallas Baptist six times last year. Remember last year had to play the old travel partner twice?
Yes.
I think Tech went 1-5 in those six games. Like, if you can go out to Dallas Baptist, beautiful facility. Obviously a great program under Dan Heifner. I believe they were top 10 in the country prior to last week going on the road to losing to Western Kentucky. Ryan Johnson, the Friday night guy, might be one of the most awkward dudes in the entire country when you look at his windup, but he's the real deal. That's going to be a tough challenge. You can't look too far ahead if you're a player or a coach, but you want to win the conference, you want to put yourself in a position for a regional, there you go.
No, but I want to go back to what we said. This eight-game stretch, very important for Louisiana Tech. You've got to take care. Here's the thing. You got to beat ULM. Now, out of those other seven, if you win
Western
three.
Western Kentucky has defeated Louisville. Go ahead.
There you go. So, let me get feather on the cap. Get him in the tournament. Hey, that'll be another quad. That's no problem. But here's the thing. You look at UL Lafayette and the three with Arizona. Those four, okay? And then ULM. You have to beat ULM. Out of those seven games, you win three, you're going to be in good shape.
And I think, too, you know, when you talk RPI, like, I don't think we truly understand the value of a road win versus a home win. Like, almost double the value, probably. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
And Tech's only played, I think, seven road games all year. So, like I said, when you have a chance, you know, if you want to take a chance to make your mark, like these next eight games on the road, golden opportunity.
And see, when you talk about Western Kentucky, I do follow other conference teams because here's the thing. That's great. Win all your games, then May 10th, 11th, and 12th, pack the Love Shack and come out, take two
advantage.
Out of three, win three out of that series, absolutely sweep that series. Yes.
Have you seen Arizona's baseball facilities?
Yes, I have. They're quite phenomenal. Not as good as Barb's, but I don't know if you saw that.
I did see
yeah.
That. Barb is top. Arizona, like, I'm just not a fan of this setup. Little chain link fence.
Yeah.
Backstop?
Yeah, you wonder why Jay Johnson said, hey, I'm going to Baton Rouge. Get me out of this Dixie ballpark you got set up here.
Playing in this dump.
No, we're going to have snow cones from a guy in a trailer. I mean, you got to go through.
Golly.
Yeah.
At food trucks for a concession stand
but,
out there.
But hey, and you look at the Pac-12, this is what is going into, you know, how are you going to be traveling?
Well, yeah. It's why the Pac-12 probably
yeah,
is falling
exactly
behind.
Yeah, exactly why it's falling behind.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and tell you next time out. We come back. Louisiana Tech hidden coach Mitch Gaspard will join us on the Rejuve Me Hotline. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
GBC Life Services has been a leader in disability and behavioral health services in North Louisiana since 1962. Our mission is to provide compassionate, individualized, long-term care supports and services to help those living with developmental and mental health challenges to thrive in life. Our services include supported independent living, community home living, primary medical, and acute and outpatient behavioral health services. For more information, call 318-397-6680. Find us online, gbc.la. GBC, serving you is what we do.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Hey, DQ fans, get ready for game day with our sauce to toss chicken strip baskets. Whatever wing joint flavor you're craving, we've got everything you need to win the day. Keep it classic with our tried and true honey barbecue, or dip into something new with Parmesan garlic. Whatever flavor you're feeling, you're sure to score big. Kick off game day the DQ way and stay saucy with our sauce and toss chicken strips. Only at participating DQ locations, DQ, we're happy. It tastes good.
Wake up.
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on 97.7.
Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. BC, Nick Brown, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Let's go right to the Rejuven Me hotline, joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Mitch Gaspar. Coach, I know it's a busy time of year. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Glad to be with you.
Absolutely. So I want to start right here. We've asked this question to Coach Burrows a number of times, but to get Cole McConnell back in that two spot in the order, I know that just had to make you so happy as a coach, and it's done tremendous things for you guys' lineup as well.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, obviously we missed him some kind of bad last year, and I'm happy for Cole. I mean, just the way he kind of went about it throughout last year and summertime, and just how he's prepared himself, and obviously he's putting together a really, really great year, and he really makes our lineup click. And obviously we're excited to get Dalton back here, we think within the next week or so, and kind of get that three-headed monster back moving, you know, in the top of that lineup.
In terms of Cole, as far as barreling the baseball, is he one of the better ones you've been around in your career?
He is. You know, one thing about Cole, I mean, I would say, you know, with all just the metrics and everything that you go through now, that, you know, we saw a stat on him the other day. Over 80% of the balls that he's put in play have been over 100 miles an hour this year. So, obviously, you know, when you're sitting, you know, averaging about 98 miles an hour exit velo, you know, you're going to get a whole bunch of hits. And so he's really strong. The one thing, you know, Cole does a great job. He really catches the ball deep, so he uses the whole field, but he's got big-time power to the opposite field, and he's really good, you know, against left-handed pitching, which you don't see quite as much, but he really, you know, he can handle the left-handed breaking ball, and he can hit velocity, and he's really physical. He's, you know, I think just through the years, he's really learned his swing, and he's learned how to give good at-bats, and mentally, I think he's gotten better just, you know, when things aren't as good, he can kind of get out of that funk a little bit quicker. So, but he's a dynamic, you know, guy in that lineup. Everybody's got him circled every night that we play.
I'm going to jump in and ask a question as a hitting coach. John Tabor and I often sit at the Love Shack and watch the games and wonder, all right, are we going to drop a bunt here? How much does a team like Louisiana Tech work on bunting the baseball?
Well, it's part of our daily plan, and I wouldn't say it's just real high emphasis, you know, particularly with the middle of the lineup guys, but, you know, your guys up top, your guys at the bottom, and most of our bunts are going to be sacrificed when the game just tells you that you need to bunt and to get those guys up, or the win and run needs to move in the scoring position, which is normally late in the ball game. So, we're just, I think both myself and Lane, we trust our hitters, and I like to give those guys swings, and so it's just not, you know, it's just not really who we are as an offense. We're gonna get our swings off, and we're trying to drive the ball, and not that I'm opposed to bunting. I've had years where that was part of the offense, and that's kind of more of the mindset of our team, but, you know, this group, other than the top and the bottom, you know, those guys they're going to spend time, they're going to get their sacks in every day, and we'll do our pushes and drags. But, you know, your McConnell is your Bates, and Davis is not, you know, Bates is actually a really good bunter. But the other guys, you know, we're going to make sure if we get into that spot that we're comfortable with them being able to have a sacrifice bunt. But more often, those guys are up there to do damage and swing the bat.
All right, when you get a guy like Davis back, how difficult is that to move that and maneuver back into the lineup? Is that one where you want to ease into it with a pinch hit, or do you ease into it with a designated hitter role, or just go back into the lineup? How difficult is that?
No, that's a good question. I think a lot with Dalton is going to be, it's really on him right now. You know, he was able to get the cast removed yesterday. Obviously, we're on the fast track with him. So he hit today in the cage, very limited. And, you know, we're hoping, you know, this weekend that he's in position maybe to, you know, to DH. He would only be able to DH probably for, you know, I would say certainly the next week or two, because the throwing is more of an issue than actually swinging the bat with where that hairline fracture was at. So it very well could be a pinch hit just to get him comfortable. But a lot of it, like I said, it's going to be on Dalton and just kind of where he's at. Obviously, it was still pretty painful today, as we expected, with just having the cast removed yesterday. And it's only been, you know, about 2.5, getting close to 3 weeks. And so we're really, I guess we're optimistic maybe this weekend that, you know, he could DH in a ball game. And but we really have, you know, the Dallas Baptist series is one we feel like where he could get back and, you know, really be close to full strength. And we really miss him in that lineup. I mean, it's a, you know, when you, the thing, we talked about Cole earlier, but when you have Dalton behind Cole and then Ethan, you know, the one thing those guys bring is neither guy strikes out. I think both of them have like 4, you know, in the year. And so, and, you know, George has done a really good job moving up into that slot, and he's kind of stepped up. But George really fits us better in the 5, and obviously Dalton fits us better in the 3. And it was kind of like when Cole didn't play the first weekend, you felt a little bit incomplete. That's kind of a little bit like, you know, that's kind of how we've played offensively, I thought, over the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks since he's been out. So it just, that's just a really big part of our team, those three guys in the middle. And so we're hoping, and those, you know, like I said, good question, but we're hoping to, but we want to get him penciled in there as quick as we can, but we're going to have to be patient and kind of make sure he's comfortable with, you know, letting it rip once he gets back in there.
And anytime you lose a guy like Dalton Davis, obviously you can't replace his presence in the lineup and some of the length that he gives to your lineup. But Will Safford's kind of, I guess, taken command of that right field spot. I know you have to be proud of how the way he's played the last couple of weeks.
He's played really good, and he's had some tremendous at-bats. You know, he really kind of started, you know, with at Nichols. He came off the bench and, you know, hit a big home run there, and I think that kind of energized him, gave him some confidence. And really, it's, you know, the one thing with Will early and even going into last year, there was just a lot of swing and miss, you know, in his at-bats. He's always been an energy guy and a guy that you love having on your team, but he's really started to put together some quality at-bats and a lot more contact. He's staying above the ball, and he's really kind of flattening some balls out. And so he's a big part of what I think, you know, in the second half of the season for us. And, you know, one thing we have to kind of maneuver a little bit today is Ethan, because Dalton more than likely, you know, would going to have to DH for, you know, a couple weeks, we actually started working Ethan a little bit at first base today because of the way that, you know, Will's played in right field. And so, obviously, EB is not going to come off the field, so we've got to figure out a way to keep his bat in there and get him, you know, on the field and play defense. And also, you got to consider, you know, he's going to be the guy in the back of the game that's going to close that game. So there's a few more moving pieces, you know, even when we get Dalton back, just that we've got to make sure we maneuver the right way to take care of the ball game.
And so I want to ask about a young player. I know Grant Como probably doesn't get a lot of the limelight like the McConnell, like the Bates, like the Davis. But you go back for really, I guess, the last month or so, you talk about barrel in the baseball. It feels like, you know, you look at the average on the surface, it doesn't blow you away. But I feel like Grant Como's really emerged as a redshirt freshman and really swinging the bat well.
No, he has. And the one thing about Grant, you know, the first probably 3 weeks, you know, where he started playing pretty regular, boy, he had some loud outs now. I mean, it was, you know, it felt like he was having 2-3 barrels a night and was only getting, you know, one to show for it on the box. But he's played really, really good baseball for us and said a lot of real good at-bats. It kind of solidified us, you know, when prior to Dalton's injury, that we were able to just kind of plug in Grant at first base and leave Dalton out in right field. And that's kind of what we need. I mean, different guys that you know, can kind of step up, and Grant certainly has done that, you know, through the last month where he's had really good run. It's good at bats. I think he's got a really bright future here. And you know, he's a third baseman by trade. We're, you know, moved him over to first, you know, this year to get him on the field with Logan at third. But he's a really nice defender at third base. And so he's going to be a really good player for us here at Tech.
All right, I'm going to ask this question. AD has to lead the country in infield hits. Is that something you teach, that he chops that baseball?
Well, I wish I could teach that, but you know what? One thing about AD, I think he's had, and one reason I think for the infield hits, and just, the, you know, his average has climbed about 35, 40 points in the last probably, you know, month of the season, is his contact number has really come up from, yeah, he's another guy, obviously the slider can give him some issues, but he's really done a much better job in taking that slider that's off the plate, and it just, yeah, everybody's got their thing that kind of gets them, and that's really what we try to work on to get better on. And his takes have been much better. He's been able to foul off some of those tough ones, but a lot of times he gets pitched, it's very slider heavy, and so he's been able to, you know, take a lot of those balls back through the middle of the field. And the thing with AD, obviously, he's been a really good runner, so he can take that shortstop left or right two or three steps. He's got a really good shot to get an infield hit. And you know, sometimes just the baseball is such a crazy game, and sometimes you get infield hits, sometimes you hit bullets right at somebody, you know, and he's been on a good run that a lot of those balls have kind of found some holes or moved those infielders around where he's been able to beat some throws out, because he went from about 265 back to 300, you know, really quick in about a three-week span, which he was getting a lot of multi-hit games. But a big part of that, he's just making a lot more contact and making a lot better decisions, I think, on his pitch recognition.
So earlier you mentioned some of the exit velocity with Cole. Obviously a lot of that's a talking point in baseball these days. You talked launch angle as well, and I'm sure you guys as coaches analyze that stuff pretty regularly. How do you balance that as a coach and relaying that to your players, but also being careful not to overload them with information?
Yeah, it's a balancing act. You know, we're fortunate. We've got a really good analytic team here and our folks. It starts with Dr. Szymanski, but you know, we have some people on staff that Chris is kind of our main guy. So we know every ball off the bat. We you know, we know launch angle, we know exit velo, we know all the things. So what we do is we have a weekly report that we give. You know, so in a typical week, you're going to have four games. So we break down every four-game segment that's going to, you know, you're going to have hot zones, cold zones, which, you know, that week, you know, I barreled up, you know, four balls on the outer half of the plate, but I really struggled maybe on the ball down, you know, on the outer half of the plate. And so there's a lot of things that go into it, but we try to break down each hitter in, you know, we're typically right now playing about 11 hitters, you know, so those guys get a weekly report that I get from our analytic team. Then I kind of break that down, and I make my notes as well as the analytical team makes their notes, and then we kind of deliver that, and then I'll meet with each hitter, you know, here's the positives, here's the things we need to get better on, and this really needs to be our emphasis, you know, the next week moving forward with probably our cage work and what we want to do, what we want to emphasize, where, like I said, everybody's got a hole. I mean, there's every offensive player from, you know, Cole McConnell to, you know, Grant Como, there's going to be a hole in there somewhere that you can see they're trying to expose and attack. And so we try to stay ahead of the curve with that, and we're always kind of looking, hey, this is how they're pitching you. This is what, you know, it's been a pretty weekly trend. This, you know, whether they're going hard, soft, or whatever it may be. And we play a lot of percentages, and we've got our heat maps up. And so we know what the pitcher's going to do from all of our true media stuff, which tells us, you know, what he favors and what counts. And, you know, so the game's changed so much, you know, since I've been doing this 35 years. It's really crazy now what, you know, what is at your you know, what you have available to you now to present to your hitters, but you're also dead on. I mean, we're at the end of the day, you got to compete. You got to be in a good headspace that I'm not thinking about all the intricacies of being bad. It's more about, you know, see ball, hit ball. That still, you know, plays into it, and you got to be very competitive. But we want to work really hard, you know, in between those at bats and in between those games, that we're trying to correct some of the things that is going to put us in a little better spot, you know, each time that we show up, when, you know, versus righty, lefty, you know, whatever that guy throws and what his best pitch, we want to try to take that away.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, tremendous stuff tonight. We appreciate you joining us as always, and looking forward to seeing you guys back on the field tomorrow night down in Lafayette.
You got it, guys. Thanks for y'all's support. We appreciate it.
Mitch Gaspar, Louisiana Tech hitting coach. That's some interesting information right there.
A lot of information. I tell you what, if you follow the Dogs, you do exactly what he's talking about, going through. And I've noticed AD has gotten much better with the slider.
Yeah, he has.
So great. So.
Well, and you know, he talks about the hot and the cold zones, and you study how pitchers pitch you, and you're looking at launch angle. To be able to see that as a player on paper, though, you buy into it more, I would imagine.
As a fan, when you went to the fall scrimmage, they had the exit velo
up on the board.
On the boards. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's go ahead. Take our next time out. We come back. Let's talk about this College Football Super League.
Let's do it.
You listen to Bleed Tape Blue Radio, Sports Talk, 97.7.
It's bow time. Something new just dropped at Bojangles. Take the bold taste of a crispy golden chicken supreme that's been seasoned to perfection, then add dill pickles, Carolina Gold barbecue sauce, and a toasted bun that's great on the go. What do you get? You get a Bo's Bird Dog. In fact, you can grab two of them for $5. So when you're on the go, headed to practice, or need a snack, grab a Bo's Bird Dog. Hurry in before they're gone. Available for a limited time. It's bow time.
Check out the Courtesy Automotive family with Courtesy Direct. Click it. Pick it, then come get it. From our floor to your door, that's Courtesy Direct. Shop at buycourtesy.com 24/7 online. All right, two lots filled with six of the leading brands. Chevy, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep. Courtesy Automotive family on both sides of I-20, exit 86 in Ruston.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement therapy. Let us be your age-defying clinic.
You've heard about it? We've got it. Semaglutide. RejuvameMedical.com.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement and weight loss therapy. It's time to begin your journey to a better you. Rejuvame Medical, now open in Monroe. RejuvameMedical.com.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
Want to find stuff out about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
All right, we're back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, Nick Brown, John Taylor. I want to thank Mitch Gaspar for joining us in the previous segment. All right, Nick, I'm sure you've seen this thing about the College Football Super League.
Yes.
All right, so real quick synopsis of it. So there's this group of leaders, and it includes some top executives in the NFL. You got some college presidents, whoever. Basically, like all of us, they don't see how the college football model right now is sustainable. So they've kind of put together this idea of where you got an upper group, I guess you would say an upper group, a top tier of 70 teams, which right now is your five Power Five conferences joining to have 10 or 7 10-team quote-unquote leagues, and you also include Notre Dame and new ACC member SMU. But the model does include all 133
teams.
FBS teams that we have currently. So you would have your top tier of those 70 teams, then your next tier, which would be tier two, of 10 teams, but that tier plays in the quote-unquote chance to win a national championship. And then from there, 81 to 133, I guess they're kind of where the G5 is right now. Let me ask you this. And then you also have promotion and relegation within that tier two. So, like, if you're in 81 to 133, theoretically, you could play yourself up into tier two, play for a national championship, which I assume is kind of like a Liberty playing for a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yes.
Or a Cincinnati making a playoff. Like, not going to happen much, but you could do it. Your thoughts?
Okay, number one, I think that that is something that we've talked about for years. But bottom line, this is really a way of saving the Pac-12 members that you have and how they're
left
out west. Now, I think you're saying, okay, if you're a Louisiana Tech fan, you're listening to Bleed Tech Blue. How does that affect Louisiana Tech? Well, number one, it's giving you, so you're saying there's a chance you would have to be good enough to get moved into this 10 group, and then from that 10 group moved in. So you would have to move from the Hampton to the Hilton to the Waldorf Astoria. So I like it better of a true split.
Now, I know you do.
What this is saying is, okay, the Liberties have a chance, or that one team, Boise State, years ago from the Mountain West. You're really looking at the American Athletic, it comprising a majority of those 10 schools.
Initially,
so
yeah.
Here's the deal. It really doesn't affect a G5 from the Sun Belt or from Conference USA.
Here's what I'm hung up on, though. I've heard the theoretical, and you and I have debated this, G5 playoff.
Yes.
In my mind, I can't get out of that feels Division II to me. Like, and I understand right now Louisiana Tech's chance of playing in a 12-team college football playoff is like 1 in 1,000. I get it. But if you true split me, and I'm not sitting here telling you we got 35,000 at Joe IA Stadium every Saturday night, because God knows we don't. We got about 4,500. I can't get over that mental hurdle.
You're clinging to the hope. This is what
you're saying there's a chance.
This is what you're clinging to the hope of. An undefeated season and one of the money games on your schedule. One of the money games on your schedule.
It's very good.
Their team has to, you have to defeat them. They have to good year. I've done the
this
research.
Year, you beat Arkansas, and Arkansas finishes 13-1.
Do you know in the history of all of this, and you don't know, I did the research. Only once has that G5 defeated that team that the coach didn't get fired, or the coach wasn't in his first year, and that
Cincinnati
team went on to win their conference.
Who was it?
That was Alabama when Louisiana Tech beat them.
Really?
Yes. Go back to
99,
97. Was that Mike DeBose? Back to Mike DeBose years.
Interesting.
And I just really think that what you're saying is there's a chance, and you're clinging to a hope. That's like saying it's going to snow tomorrow. There's a chance, but like the old Mythbusters used to say, it's possible but not probable. And by going to the split, and I get it, but you have to climb into that 10. And then you have to climb in from that 10 into the next level. And quite frankly, I just don't see that happening.
I agree with you. And generally speaking, I probably believe that a G5 playoff is the best path forward. Here's my fear. Instead of staying where you're at, whatever you want to call this level, you fall down another tier. And it's a conference game with McNeese State.
That's not happening, but here's the thing. Now, you could have a conference game with McNeese State. It's because McNeese State moved up. I use a golf course analogy all the
Southeastern
time.
Southeastern, whoever.
He had a brother, a relative. We won't call it a brother. He, moves to this neighborhood. And then he's living in this neighborhood. Everything's great. Then some neighbors move. and then he moved to that neighborhood that they're in. Then they keep moving. If you look at where we've gone through college football, you can't keep moving. You look at now. You look at who's – you have, what, Sam Houston, Bearcats with a K? They moved up from FCS. So everybody is wanting to move up. And you look at what the NCAA has done throughout the years. Remember when they had the attendance figures?
Yep.
And all of this they do to keep you down. You're never going to – boy, I'm not a defeatist, but you're never going to catch up with that because they're always going to expand the rubric
some
and make it harder for you to do that.
Okay, let me ask you this. In terms of the TV contract, that's a lot of the conversation. Regardless of how we end up with the top 70 or whoever, if they were all negotiating together, would they make more money than they are now negotiating by conference?
All right, here's the thing with that, and I've always enjoyed that with a television contract because they give out all these big bucks. They're playing at the same time. So, like, you're going to have a Big Ten game on at this time, an SEC game on at this time, and you're going to scatter out a Conference USA game on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. How in the world can you say that your dollar, that your value you're putting on that product when you're competing with that, unless you're like me.
Competing against the same thing.
Yeah, you've got three TVs going, and you're watching the Big Ten game, you're watching the SEC game, and you're watching the ACC game from Doak Campbell Stadium between Clemson and Florida State. Quite frankly, it's just division, and it's just it's out of control.
It is out of control. All right, let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back, we'll put a bow on it. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk at 97.7.
Hey, DQ fans, get ready for game day with our sauce to toss chicken strip baskets. Whatever wing joint flavor you're craving, we've got everything you need to win the day. Keep it classic with our tried and true honey barbecue, or dip into something new with Parmesan garlic. Whatever flavor you're feeling, you're sure to score big. Kick off game day the DQ way and stay saucy with our sauce and toss chicken strips. Only at participating DQ locations, DQ, we're happy. It tastes good. Hey, Tech fans, coming in town to watch the Dawgs play? We'll stay with the whole family at a fully furnished home in Ruston, Monroe, or one of our area Great Lakes. For more information, go to staywithsouthern.com. That is staywithsouthern.com. And Bleed Tech Blue listeners, listen up because this offer is just for you. BTB listeners, use code BTB24. That's BTB24 for 10% off any and all stays. Again, staywithsouthern.com.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
GBC Life Services has been a leader in disability and behavioral health services in North Louisiana since 1962. Our mission is to provide compassionate, individualized, long-term care supports and services to help those living with developmental and mental health challenges to thrive in life. Our services include supported independent living, community home living, primary medical, and acute and outpatient behavioral health services. For more information, call 318-397-6680. Find us online, gbc.la. GBC, serving you is what we do.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Final segment of the show before Taco Tuesday is officially engaged for John Tabor as he counts down the minutes. As Florida State leads Florida 11-3 in the third inning. I'm not sure what's happened to Kevin O'Sullivan. I don't know if it's kind of some repercussions from the old marriage situation, possibly.
Hey, could very well be.
Was that a little too frisky for air tapes?
A little too risky, yeah.
All right, what we got coming up this week? We got, we mentioned earlier, we got Louisiana Tech baseball on the road tomorrow night at ULL. They'll travel to Arizona this weekend. According to Louisiana Tech's schedule online, that'll be 8 o'clock first pitch on Friday and Saturday before a noon first pitch on Sunday. Nick, let me ask you this.
How do you watch the Pac-12 Network Plus?
All right, that is going to be one that I
do
may...
Do you know that one?
I may have to spend a little money on that.
I'll spend it.
I do have the Pac-12 Network, but I've got to go check out the Pac-12 Plus. So that might be a few more dollars coming
out. Yeah, I've been digging around on it. Part of me thinks that maybe you can watch it over YouTube. Maybe that's what Pac-12 Network Plus is. I don't know. It's all very confusing, and heck, the Pac-12's dying in about 50 days, so... they might as well put their entire product on the free YouTube page. Looking at Tech softball, Josh Taylor's squad, of course, 24-11. They're 7-5 in conference play. How about this for a doubleheader tomorrow afternoon at Dr. Billy Bundrick Field? Ole Miss coming to town. That should be a fun one.
I think so. You look at it, and you look at the...
I believe that game is supposed to be played today originally.
Yeah, before not playing anything today. But you look at 24-11. Overall, just made a trip to the plains of Auburn, had a big victory over Georgia Tech.
Saw your Tigers beat not the Texter softball team, the Bulldog softball team.
Yes, that's correct, the Bulldog softball team. Excuse me for that. But huge victory over Georgia Tech, 13-10.
Yeah.
And that was a good one.
That was an exciting game. And listen, that was heard Josh Taylor on Inside Tech Baseball a couple weeks ago. They went up to Liberty, swept in a 3-game series, didn't score a run. And he added to it and said, guys, we didn't get past second base. So, hey, he dropped 13 on Georgia Tech. And you look at Tech softball from an RPI perspective, they're sitting at 45 right now. So, pretty solid spot RPI-wise.
And you look at it, it reminds me of the Tech baseball schedule from a few years ago, littered with Southeastern Conference opponents. And so what you're doing, you're only going to get stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to beat them, but you even, you know, people sometimes don't understand – you can play, you talked about the quadrants earlier, you can play a quadrant opponent and lose.
Yeah,
and it better help and help you than when you say, oh, yeah, we just dropped 4 points tonight with a victory. You know, so.
And Tech softball will be on the road this weekend. They'll travel to Jacksonville State. That's a 6 p.m. first pitch on Friday, 1 o'clock on both Saturday and Sunday. You can catch all three of those games on ESPN+. Looking at the Jacksonville State softball team, 17-22 overall. 6-6 in conference play. We hadn't talked about this. Conference USA, you mentioned 9 teams on both the softball and the baseball side. Only 24 conference games. Lane Bros has talked about this thing could sneak up on you in a hurry. Tech baseball has already played 9 conference games. You only got 15 to go. And obviously they're in a good spot. You're only a 1 game back from Liberty on the baseball side. But, you know, I say you want to make your move, like, you can't really, and you've talked about that, you can't really afford to lose series because it almost feels like when you do lose a series, especially if you're at the top, you probably lose 2 games.
You're right, and I think that is the biggest downfall. Now, next year it'll be a little better with Kennesaw State entering the league, and that has been a traditional. They have made regionals in the past, but more importantly, whether they've made regionals, BC, you're getting more baseball games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's less non-conference games for you to schedule. You know, we talked about this Arizona series, but that series at home, the 3-game set with Northwestern State, was due to an open weekend in conference play as well. How about this on Kennesaw? They beat Clemson 18-1 earlier this year.
Yes, they did.
I'm sure you remember that one. And I'm trying to pull up their schedule, but I believe they drummed Kentucky the other night as well. So the Owls of Kennesaw State, Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yes.
Be a pretty solid addition to the conference.
Not only is it a solid addition, that is one that if you get an opportunity to make a road trip, I'd love to make
it.
So we were playing in Atlanta with some travel ball with the Knights. And the wife and Brett had flown back to Louisiana. And it's one of those deals where you played at like 10 o'clock in the morning. You didn't play again till 10 the next day. So I said, told RJ, we're taking a trip. And we drove to Kennesaw. Drove about
good campus. About
beautiful.
Don't they have a large enrollment?
A large enrollment. Now, nearly broke into the baseball field. My children always stop me from breaking into athletic facilities. Don't want to pay bail on the road. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a piece of trash on the ground. Up
really?
In the mountains. It's just beautiful. All right, you've seen the picture of App State's baseball.
Yes.
Just think it's a minor scale version of that.
Okay.
So, very beautiful.
Yeah, they took 2 of 3 from Kentucky earlier this year, winning the first 2 games of that series, 13-1 and 10-2. And that's a Kentucky team that's probably going to be a top 8 national seed.
They certainly are. They've done well. They surprised a lot of people. Everybody keeps looking for them to fold, but they haven't done that. Had a big series last weekend versus Alabama.
So, fun show tonight. I want to thank Mitch Gaspard for joining us on the Rejuvenate Hotline. Nick Brown, certainly appreciate you coming in. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Had a blast. I'd love to come in again.
John Taylor, you the man, as always. We'll be back April 23rd, 2 weeks from tonight. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm BC. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7. Brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, Dairy Queen, and Bienville Motors. Join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host Ben Carlisle on the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7.
Chris went to his undergrad at a small college in Connecticut called Fairfield. All the guy does is work, watch the Mets, and coach like three different Little League teams.
Okay.
His life. He's living that sports dad life.
Dad life?
Yeah. The last couple weeks, he's been all like, yeah, UConn. And we're like, UConn? You're a Mets fan, you're a Rangers fan, and you're a Giants fan. Well, what's this UConn thing? And here's his answer. I think he works for American Express. And he's like, you know, he's sort of a big dog there. He's like, back in 2010, they paid for me to get my master's, and I went to UConn. I'm like, hold on now. Online? Did you go to the campus? I'm like, you can't claim you went somewhere. I have a rule. Tell me if you like this rule.
I already don't like your rule.
If you haven't been drunk on the campus, haven't slept with someone on the campus, or know the local bars and restaurants on the campus.
How do you know he didn't sleep with somebody?
You can't say.
Maybe he just can't tell you.
You can't say, oh, I'm alumni. Because you got your master's.
What do you mean? You should take this theory and shove it. What are you talking about?
Danny G, if you got your master's there
if
online.
If I was this guy, I would want to reach through the phone and punch this guy in the nose.
Nowadays, Rich, you can't make that rule because so many people do school online.
I was like, you might as well tell me you went to the University of Phoenix.
Are you going to tell me my daughter didn't pass fifth grade because she had to do it online
COVID,
in the pandemic?
But listen, COVID exceptions, forget that nonsense. I'm saying,
hey, this is Cheech.
And this is Chong, and you're listening to
Covino and Rich, so listen up.
To get the rest of what Covino and Rich said, podcast it by searching Covino and Rich. And as always, you can hear Covino and Rich weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Here's the thing.
First name, Doug.
Boom, what up?
Last name, Gottlieb.
Google me.
Middle name, Unrelenting.
The idea is very simple.
It's not an equitable system. It's never been fair.
No fat.
The meat of the story. Let's cut through the gristle.
Cut out the fat.
Just sports meat.
Yeah, well, that's not the point. Actually, that is the point.
It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. Weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. When you call yourself the premier sports lineup in the nation, you have to back it up. Well, my friends, we do. Check these names. Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Doug Gottlieb.
Spectacular.
Covino and Rich, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker, Ben Maller, Jason Smith, and Mike Harmon. Is that premiere enough? Listen to all those names right here.
Really?
On Fox Sports Radio. The most fearless voice in sports is on FS1. The one and only Colin Cowherd is bold, unique, and outspoken.
Wow.
You can see him on The Herd, weekdays at noon Eastern on FS1 in the Fox Sports app.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker, live from the TireRack.com studios. We're about 8 minutes away from trolling and rolling with Martin Weiss. And about 12 minutes away from you, shining in Trash Talking Tuesday. Get your takes ready and hit us up at 877-99 on Fox. You got about 30, 40 seconds to do your dirt. All right, Rob, last night we know that UConn won its second straight championship, NCAA men's basketball, by the score of 75-60, I believe was the final. And Rob, what they did was it proved their strategy, proved analytics to be right. Cause Rob, Zach Edey, the 7'4" center for the Purdue Boilermakers, they guarded him, they single covered him, and he went crazy. 37 points, 15 for 25 field goals, which is good. That's a good percentage. People might, you know, cringe at the 25 shots, but he shot a good percentage. What's that? That's 60%. But because UConn was able to limit their three-point, not only makes, they only made one, Purdue, but their even their attempts, they only got to attempt 7 three-pointers, Rob, in the entire game.
Wow.
And that's the fewest that Purdue has attempted in a game since 2015. We talk about 9 years, all right? And what they proved was, you know, a lot of times you say, well, if we're killing them inside, we'll keep going to you. But by giving up the twos to Edey, not giving them up, but, you know, he killed him inside.
Well, right, we know the
but
math.
But no
right.
threes.
If he's scoring two and you're getting threes, right.
And it wasn't even that. Here's the other thing, though. UConn wasn't blazing from three. They were 6 for 22 themselves. But think about the difference. 6 threes for UConn. 1 for Purdue. That's 18-3.
And they won by 15.
And they won by 15 points.
Right.
So it's just simple math. But it worked last night for UConn. And, you know, more power to them. But they, Rob, a lot of teams, they're not the first team to think, you know what? Let's stop there, too. Because Purdue is the second. They're one of two teams to shoot 40% or more from three in the nation. So they had a lot of success from three, and they had a big man inside who could dominate, and that was their formula to win. But UConn wasn't the first team to say, hey, let's take away the three. But you know what? They were able to execute. They were able to do it. A lot of teams had that game plan, but they couldn't follow it or execute it. And UConn is a national champion again because they were able to execute it.
Yeah, I get it. And that's why people won't go away from the threes, Chris. Like,
right.
And that's why. Because even I remember Popovich saying once, you know, about looking at the stat sheet, Chris, of a game, and he used to say, I don't even look at rebounds or offensive boards anymore or anything. He goes, all I do is look at the difference in the threes, and that's usually will tell me what the game was, what happened.
Yeah, in some cases, you hate that it can be that simple.
Am I right? But that's
but
what –
sometimes it is.
You just gave the simple math. 6-1, 18-3, 15-point differential. They lost by 15.
Yep.
We can talk about all the other stuff in the middle.
What do you think about Edey as an NBA prospect? Now, you've asked me about it before.
Yeah,
I'll give you a few mock drafts. I just looked at two today.
Yeah,
ESPN, they had him going, I think, 13th to Portland.
He would fit there. From the standpoint, Chris, of Portland, their fan base, like, I could see him there.
Sports Illustrated, they had him going 22nd to the Knicks.
Really?
Yeah. Now, again, that shows you, I mean, people are all over the map.
Yeah. He's not one of those where you just, he's a surefire top 10 lottery pick.
Nah.
Whatever. Yeah,
I think he's low first round. I think there's definitely a place for him in the NBA. I think he can, you know, play at times, be effective. He's not like a tremendous shot blocker, but, you know, he can block shots because of his size. But I don't think he's a future star, Rob. I think he's a role player.
And certain situations will be able to play more than others. But he's not, like, as athletic even as, like, a Rudy Gobert, you know. And so, but look, incredibly dominant in college. But I think a role player at the next level.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how he, as you talk about, he's not going to be a star, but how he fits in.
Yep.
And it's weird for somebody to have that kind of a college career, Chris, and not be a factor. But he doesn't do what people need you to do nowadays. If this was 20 years ago, people are all over.
20 years ago, he'd probably be the number one pick.
Right? 20 years ago.